As you guys know, not only did Chris Wells become Speaker of the House this Wednesday, also police reform legislation was passed in Springfield.
Yeah.
And there are mixed feelings about it, of course. For those of us in the African-American community, we feel these reforms were strongly needed. People in the law enforcement community feel that they are not, and that it's going to hamper their ability to perform their job. So on a live line with us, we have Edward Wozicki. He is the executive director of the Illinois Police Chief Association. Edward, I hope I said your last name right, man. But welcome.
Close enough.
There you go.
Yeah. And you know what I tell people? That it actually rhymes with whiskey. So
whoa.
It's
there we go.
Oh, I got it. That's it.
Happy Friday.
Hey, man. Tell us about the Police Chief Association of Illinois and what you guys do there.
We have 1,200 members throughout the state. A lot of them are north of I-80, and we do professional development for chiefs, and we also do legislative advocacy for chiefs and all of law enforcement.
So you guys are down in Springfield and doing work down in Springfield, I would imagine, huh?
Yes, sir. Our office is just 3 blocks from the Capitol.
So I understand how police officers feel, and I've been hearing a lot over the last couple of days. Give me your feelings and the people that you represent, how they feel about police reform, the legislation that was passed.
You know, when you opened this, you said, you know, the black community thought reforms were needed and law enforcement does not. That's really not quite right because
okay.
There is a significant aspect of this law, the last 150 pages or so, that's all about getting rid of bad cops. And we wholeheartedly support this part of the law because we want to get rid of bad cops. We have been hampered by certain laws and processes that allow bad cops just to kind of go away, and then they show up at another police department. So we're very pleased with the part of the law that's going to help us get rid of bad cops.
Okay.
What part of it do you guys have a problem with?
Well, there's some sloppy language in there. For example, you know, there's a prohibition on acquiring military equipment. And, you know, and we understand why some people wanted that language in there because they didn't want, you know, if you're out there just walking down the street or protesting, you don't want an army tank coming at you, you know, and that, mm-hmm. because that seems mm-hmm. like it's over the top. But let me tell you what's happening right now in Springfield. Our governor, our Democratic governor, who is very likely to sign this bill, he's ordering the National Guard and military equipment to be stationed all over downtown Springfield, right very close to my office, mm-hmm. as a show of force against what could be these right-wing protesters this weekend. And so even the governor recognizes that sometimes this equipment is needed. And so just to have these sweeping bans, not such a good idea. And another thing, I know that bail reform is very popular with a lot of people, and we don't mind some reform. But see, it's a lot of it's in the language and in the unintended consequences. What's going to happen here is you're going to have very violent people who are free on bail because the law is going to require them to be free on bail, and so. That section really needs more work. There needs to be more safeguards to make sure that the violent people are kept away from innocent citizens. There, you know, I actually could go on and on, and maybe I sound like I am, but there are some things in there that are very worrisome.
Now, let me ask you a question. Was there... And I don't know the answer to this. And we had State Senator L.G. Sims on with us yesterday kind of talking about this. And really, this would have been a question for me to ask him. Was there any input from law enforcement on this legislation? And not that you know the answer to that question, but I'm sure, like I said, the senator would have known the answer to that question, so it's probably more appropriate for me to have asked him that. But to your knowledge, do you know if there was any input from law enforcement on this?
Oh my gosh, yes. You know, Senator Sims is my friend, you know, and sometimes it comes out in the media because he takes one position and we take a position that people think we're in great conflict. But we participated in about 30 hours worth of hearings with him and with Representative Slaughter. Mm-hmm. And it was us and the sheriff and some others. And he listened to what we had to say on just about every issue that there was. And I testified at a number of these hearings. And see, because one of the things that, one of the unintended consequences of this bill is going to be kind of like you said it, you know, well, it's the blacks versus law enforcement, or law enforcement versus the black. And I want to change that narrative because, first of all, the legislation really isn't. I know that there are some people in the black community who are plenty upset with law enforcement. Maybe a lot of them are. And there are some law enforcement people who shouldn't be in law enforcement who have the wrong kinds of attitudes.
Wow.
But, you know, we need more conversations like the ones I have with Senator Sims. And we just need more conversations throughout the state so that it's not us versus them. Why does it always have to get to us versus them? The way I act, the way I operate, what I do, week in and week out, it's never us versus them.
Can I ask a question about the police accountability and House Bill 3653? If you want to get into that a little bit, Edward. I'm trying to get, you know, I want to make sure that just for clarity for people, you know, that they know what it is and what I'm reading here, that House Bill 3653, it includes a quote number of measures to increase police transparency and accountability. So can you like expound on that a little bit for people just for, you know, for clarity so that they know what it is?
Sure.
And how it can help them in any way if it can.
Yeah. For transparency, the bill does, it provides more ways for people to file complaints against police. And the methods of reviews of these complaints has really been strengthened at the state level. And now there will be databases of police misconduct, that are more readily available so that, I don't know if it will all be, I'm sure it won't all be available to the general public, but this misconduct database will be available to the people who need to see it so that they can better track those bad cops.
Wow.
And that's good. And when we're going to take a break, when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on the decertification. And that's a big part of the legislation, I know. Qualified immunity, of course, is something that was left out of this legislation, which I know a lot of people felt that should be in it. But the decertification part, and I will admit, talking to you, Edward, it seems like whenever I hear somebody that's in a position like you are in say that, yes, we've got to get rid of bad cops, that is a good thing. There are other people who are in positions and have a platform of authority, police union chiefs, et cetera, that I think if they had that same attitude, and maybe they do, but they don't express it for whatever their reasons are, I think we bring these two groups closer together. The African-American community, law enforcement, there are some obvious things to us that are problematic, and it sounds like you are in tune with a lot of that. But there are some other parts of this legislation that you have a problem with. So it's a good conversation for us to keep it out there. And we'll return with Edward Nguyen after this break, 717 on WVON. Hannah has traffic and weather coming up next.
The WVON lineup, chat room, blogs, photos, podcasts, and more on the World Wide Web at WVON.com.
Oh, ooh, won't you take me there right away? Won't you leave me?
We're back 720 on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM. WBON. Michael Jackson born in here. We're talking about him. I dated a girl when I was living in Los Angeles. Okay. I dated a girl.
Uh-huh.
She swore Michael Jackson wrote this song about her.
That PYT?
Yeah.
She was a pretty young thing. So she pretty much?
She was fine now.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't have been dating her.
So fine. She blew your mind.
She had been writing Michael Jackson for years. She was his number one fan.
Okay.
And I think he had written her back. You know?
Okay.
So she felt like she had this, but she swore that this song was about her. But
was she serious?
She was dead serious. I was like, girl, you still, okay. So I remember telling my boys about it, and they were like, dude, your girl's whack if she think Michael.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's
She was fine.
She was fine. So I was 20 years old. What am I going to tell you, everybody? 773-591-1690 is the number to call. Edward Wozicki is our guest, the executive director of the Illinois Police Chief Association. We're talking about police reform legislation that was passed in Springfield the other day. The impact of it. And there's some pushback on it, right? As you can imagine, people in the law enforcement community feel that this is going to get in the way of them doing their job. Ed, you said also about the bail issue that we discussed, that a lot of people feel that bad guys, here's what I've been hearing from law enforcement people, that bad guys are going to be out on the street. We're going to be letting the bad guys get out. And this is going to prevent us from being able to do our jobs the way we want to do it. And, you know, we've got to be aggressive, which I agree, law enforcement officers. But here's the problem. And I think if more professionals had the attitude that you do right now, I think the lines of communications would be better. From some people, some cops, what I'm hearing is they want to be able to police the way that they want to be able to police. They don't want somebody looking over their shoulder. They want to be as, you know, their impression of being aggressive is different than others. And my opinion is that for a very long time in this country, police officers have had free rein to police the way they want to police. They've been able to go unchecked. And then now that we have cameras all over the place and we see the videos, as I'm sure you would admit, you know, George Floyd, and, you know, you look at what happened to Breonna Taylor, of course, and so the no-knock warrants. I mean, there's reasons to make changes, and some of them I'm sure you agree with. But I think there are a lot of cops out there that just want to be able to do their thing their way. And doing their thing their way over the last 50, 60, 70, 100 years has resulted in a lot of black people being killed and a lot of black people losing their lives, and the videos that never existed because we didn't have video cameras back in the day on everybody's cell phone, the stories that were untold are the reasons why we are where we are today. Like, I would say, Edward, you in your mind, you're representing the good cops out there that are doing the job, but it's because of and I hate to pick on Jason Van Dyke, but even John Cantazara, who's the FOP chief, if you talk to him, he looked at the George Floyd video and said, there's not a cop in this country that agrees that that is the proper way to handle that situation. There's some videos that you look at and everybody agrees you can't do that. And it's because of those cops doing that, that we are where we are today with police reform. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. And we understand that. And you know what? And I can take that one step further. The chief in Hazelcrest, Chief Mitchell Davis, he is going to become our first black president in April of this year. And we're very proud of that. And he has told me, he says, Ed, every black male by the age of 18 has had a bad experience with police. And I said, I don't want to believe that, Mitch. And so I've been going around with NAACP leaders. We've been to 27 cities in this state in the last 4 years talking to African-Americans of all ages. We went to Homewood Glossmore High School. And I, after I heard this, I always ask this question because I want to have candid conversations. And I just say to them, I say, hey, Chief Davis tells me every black male has a bad experience with cops by the time he's 18. Is that true? In every single place that I've been, all over this state, the black people are shaking their head yes. And I'm telling you, what, this bothers me. Now, I like to think that can't be true. But I also know that this is how people feel, and it's based on their experiences. Mm. And so I feel an urgent need to say this, to address, to talk about it, and to say, you know, what can we do so that when the next generation comes along 18 years from now, they're not saying the same thing. It's something that we need to change one conversation at a time.
I agree. And as I listen to you say that, it's probably before 18 in some instances. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just facts. And this is just dealing with me.
It's just the reality. Well, I applaud you. Like I said, Edward, there are some other – when I told Todd to book you for the show, I was thinking like, yeah, all right, Ed's going to come on here and it's going to be a debate and we're going to argue about it. And actually, you are way more reasonable than I thought you were going to be. And some of the other people that I've had on the show in discussing this that are pro-law enforcement, and not saying that you are because you are pro-law enforcement, some of the other people would just be very aggressive in their disagreement with this legislation. If more leadership and more visions like yours, I think, helps out in this conversation in the long run. So, you know, maybe 20, 25 years from now, or maybe even sooner, those 18-year-olds don't shake their head and say, yes, I've had bad experiences with cops. And the reality is they're police officers that are from the African-American community. They're part of our families. They're fathers, uncles, moms, aunts. And they are part of the law enforcement community. And we have to – this relationship between law enforcement and the African-American community mm-hmm. has to be better. It's just – we have no choice. We really don't. And so hopefully
– I hope I've made it clear that I agree with you on that.
No, you did.
Absolutely, you have.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the fact that you and Senator Sims and State Rep Slaughter, have talked, and even where you have disagreement – it's understandable disagreement. I think, like I said, now more leadership, like what your version of leadership is good. There are some other people out there in the law enforcement community that are antagonistic when it comes to talking about these issues, that they won't admit that there are bad cops out there. They'll look at Jason Van Dyke video shooting and killing Laquan McDonald, and they'll rationalize it, or they'll rationalize the George Floyd video. Those are the conversations that are hard to absorb. But, Ed, no, you've done a good job, man. So appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your thoughts with us.
Anytime. Be glad to come on again.
Thank you.
All right. That's Edward Wojcicki. I keep pronouncing his name.
Whiskey.
Is that what he said?
That's what he's saying, man.
Wojcicki.
Yeah, like
Executive Director of the Illinois Police Chief Association. All right, phone lines are open. We got Nia, Hassan, Carl, a couple of lines open. Let's get your thoughts on this. The legislation that was passed this week, police reform, some people say it goes too far. Some people say it don't go far enough. And what about what Ed said? Is there going to be a day where we talk to 18-year-old African-Americans in this state, ask them that question, what are their thoughts about law enforcement? Have they had negative interactions and they will say no as opposed to shaking their heads yes? Is that day coming with this legislation and maybe more? 773-591-1690. Hannah's got WVON News coming up next. Your calls when we get back. And setting up the rest of the show, guys, a lot going on today. And our question of the day, who's the more famous black person in America?
I thought you was going to ask Edward.
About to ask Edward. Michael Jackson or Barack Obama? Hmm. That is the question of the day. Hannah, what's going on with news?